When I was a young boy, I learned a song that I have not heard in ages. And I think there's good reason why I haven't heard the song in ages. It was a novelty song. It was a song for kids to learn, and no one was going to perform it at a concert or make a recording of it or anything along those lines. But just a cute little song that kids loved. And it started this way. There was an old lady who swallowed a fly. She swallowed a fly, and I don't know why. Perhaps she'll die. Well, it didn't stop there, because there was a second stanza to the song that said, there was an old lady who swallowed a spider. It wiggled and jiggled and tickled inside her. She swallowed the spider to catch the fly. She swallowed the fly, and I don't know why. Perhaps she'll die. It didn't stop there. It goes on that she swallows a bird to catch the spider, to catch the fly. And then she swallows a cat. Then she swallows a dog. And then she swallows a goat. Come to the seventh stanza of the song. She swallowed a cow. And I don't know how, but she swallowed a cow to catch the goat, to catch the dog, to catch the cat, to catch the bird, to catch the spider, to catch the fly. And I don't know why. Sing with me. Perhaps she'll die. There's an eighth stanza. There was an old lady who swallowed a horse. She died, of course. It was a dumb song, wasn't it? Because who would do all those things? But let me ask you something. Have you ever had your mouth open in the normal course of events of time and something fly into it? I have. I'll bet you have too. Could be a fly, could be a ladybug, or whatever the case may be. But we've all experienced those things. Now, the normal reaction, if that would take place, and it kind of messes up the song, but each and every one of us, should that happen, the first thing we're going to do is gag. We're going to go, ooh, I can't, and the natural response would be, get this thing out of my mouth. It doesn't belong there. And we cough and we spit and we exhale and huff and puff and do whatever the case may be. Unless you'd be in some type of maybe a formal setting where it would be embarrassing to do all those things to get rid of the fly. And what can you do then? Well, then you swallow. Now, what does this have to do with anything? Well, it actually does. It's a good illustration. There are times in our lives when we're just going along. Everything is fine. We're doing what we should be doing. And temptation to sin comes along like a fly. In fact, there's nowhere in this world that we can go that we can escape temptation. It's all around us. And if we're careful, we can usually avoid it. But every once in a while, there it is, and it's like this fly flying into the mouth. And the normal reaction of the child of God is get rid of this thing immediately. Unless we're too embarrassed to do that which God has prescribed for us. And then we say to ourselves, well, it's only a fly. It can't cause much harm. I tell you what, rather than endure the embarrassment of confessing this thing and let it become known publicly, I'll just swallow it. I'll take it into my life, and certainly it can't harm me. Well, this fly, she swallows it, and apparently it gets down into the stomach, and it's still flying around down there because she's still saying, I sense something that I need to do to take care of this. I'm not easy with it. I'm uncomfortable with this fly down there. So she goes and purposely swallows a spider that will wiggle and jiggle and tickle inside her. And we find ways of covering up our sin. Just that small little fly of a sin. And of course, all the medical journals say that whenever you have a fly in your stomach, the best thing to do is to swallow a spider. No, that doesn't work. You see, actually, if they had let the spider or the fly go within a few moments, it would have been gone. There's enough stuff, acid in the stomach that you possess, that thing wasn't going to last very long. And the natural processes would have taken care of it. Oh, but there are consequences. You know, maybe that fly was infested with malaria or something like that. Well, there's medicines that can deal with that, and the consequences can be minimized, if not altogether erased. In fact, in dealing with sin, the biblical prescription is if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No need to swallow spiders or birds or cats or dogs or goats or cows. I don't know how. If we only would respond to sin the way the Bible prescribes. Well, the nation of Israel, as we come to the last chapter in the book of Judges, a study that we started a little over 10 months ago, has just swallowed a goat. And it's about ready to swallow a cow. It's been dealing with an issue. An issue that if we go backwards in this thing, well, they just made war with the tribe of Benjamin. Well, why did they make war with the tribe of Benjamin? Because the tribe of Benjamin were harboring the people of Gibeah. Well, what was wrong with that? Well, the people of Gibeah, at least some of them in Gibeah, had committed rape and consequent murder. Well, how did that come about? Well, you had this Levite traveling there with his concubine that he didn't. And you go back and you go back and you go back. Really, when you get back to the very beginning of the issue, you have one man out of the will of God. A Levite, not satisfied with his situation in Bethlehem, and he travels up north out of the will of God. Just a fly in the ointment, if you will. And that becomes a spider and then a bird and then a cat and so on and so forth. And now, well, they've gotten rid of the people of Benjamin. And now they have this cow of a problem. Look at verse 1 of chapter 21. Now the men of Israel had sworn in Mizpah, saying, "There shall not any of us give his daughter unto Benjamin to wife." Now, before they went out to battle, they said, "You know what? We're so upset with these people of Benjamin that we do not want this apostasy to continue on anymore. Let's make a vow that none of us will give our daughters to their sons to continue this apostasy." They made a vow. And the people came to the house of God and abode there till evening before God and lifted up their voices and wept sore and said, "O Lord God of Israel, why is this come to pass in Israel that there should be today one tribe lacking?" We never thought this would be so severe. Man, the whole tribe is gone with the exception of 600 men who escaped out to a rock called Rimmon. And man, we just realized this, but we've got this cow stuck in our throats. And it's not comfortable. If something doesn't change, this tribe is going to go off into extinction. And that doesn't work. Lord, what happened? I think God was in heaven saying, well, you just swallowed a cow. That's what happened. And it came to pass, verse 4, on the morrow that the people rose early and built there an altar and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. And when the children of Israel said, who is there among all the tribes of Israel that came not up with the congregation unto the Lord? For they had made a great oath concerning him that came not up to the Lord to Mizpah, saying, he shall surely be put to death. And the children of Israel repented then for Benjamin, their brother, and said, there is one tribe cut off from Israel this day. How shall we do for wives for them that remain, seeing we have sworn by the Lord that we will not give them of our daughters to wives? Now, in reality here, they had a plan already in mind. But they're going through the motions to make it look good. Well, we'll offer the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, and we'll call out to the Lord in seeming repentance here. But all the while, they had said, you know what? Let's take inventory of who is with us. We want to know if everybody followed along with us, and you'll see why. Verse 8. And they said, what one is there of the tribes of Israel that came not up to Mizpah to the Lord? And behold, there came none to the camp from Jabesh-Gilead to the assembly. For the people were numbered. And behold, there were none of the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead there. And the congregation sent there 12,000 men of the valiantest, and commanded them, saying, go and smite the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead with the edge of the sword, with the women and the children. And this is the thing that you shall do. You shall utterly destroy every male and every woman that hath lain by man. And they found among the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead 400 young virgins that had known no man by lying with any male. And they brought them unto the camp of Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan. And the whole congregation sent some to speak to the children of Benjamin that were in the rock Rimmon, and to call peacefully unto them. And Benjamin came, and again at that time, and they gave them wives which they had saved alive of the women of Jabesh-Gilead, and yet so they sufficed them not. And the people repented them for Benjamin, because that the Lord had made a breach in the tribes of Israel. So they go off and they said, well, look, we made another thing. The whole congregation has to be involved in this. Is there anyone here that, or anyone not here that should have been? Oh, wait a minute. People of Jabesh-Gilead. While those dirty, rotten scoundrels, for whatever reason, those people said, no, we're not going up to wipe out the tribe of Benjamin. Maybe they were the only righteous ones in the whole group. Maybe not. Don't know the reasons why they didn't go, but they didn't. So now these people, in trying to rectify a problem of having swallowed a goat by wiping out a tribe, said, we've got to do something that the tribe can continue. Let's go wipe out another city. And we'll just save the women that are in that city, and we'll give them to the people, the men of Benjamin. And that way they can repopulate the land. Well, they come back with 400. Just one little problem. There were 600 men. Now you have 200 men, but still have no wives. And we just swallowed a cow. Now what do we do? Verse 16. Then the elders of the congregation said, how shall we do for the wives for them that remain, seeing that the women are destroyed out of Benjamin? We've run out of alternatives. We have no women in the tribe of Benjamin. We have no women left from the people of Jabesh-Gilead. We've made an oath that we won't give them our women. There's none left. What are we going to do? Verse 17, and they said, there must be an inheritance for them that escaped of Benjamin, that a tribe be not destroyed out of Israel. Howbeit, we may not give them wives of our daughters, for the children of Israel have sworn, saying, cursed be he that giveth a wife to Benjamin. Oh, by the way, did they have to make this oath? Nowhere did God command them to do this. But they took it upon themselves as a righteous thing to do it, and now consequently they're bound to it. Then they said, "Behold, got a brilliant idea. Let's swallow a horse. There is a feast of the Lord in Shiloh yearly in a place which is on the north side of Bethel, on the east side of the highway that goes up from Bethel to Shechem, and on the south of Lebanon. Therefore they commanded the children of Benjamin, saying, Go lie in wait in the vineyards, and see, and behold, if the daughters of Shiloh come out to dance and dances, then come you out of the vineyards, and catch every man his wife of the daughters of Shiloh, and go to the land of Benjamin." Isn't this a brilliant plan? There's a feast out here, and these women, it's customary, part of the celebration is there's going to be a bunch of women dancing. So you 200 guys that don't have a wife, you go hide in the trees. And when you see these women come out, and you find one that you like, run out, grab them, take them home with you. I'd love to do the premarital counseling for that one. That's how they got a wife. And it shall be when their fathers or their brothers come unto us to complain, that we will say unto them, Be favorable unto them for our sakes, because we reserve not to each man his wife in the war. We should have put the women aside. But we didn't do it. Kind of an oversight of the thing. For ye did not give unto them at this time, but ye... that you should be guilty. Now, we made a vow that we weren't going to give them, but you guys didn't give them. They were taken. And the children of Benjamin did so and took them wives according to their number of them that danced, whom they caught, and they went and returned unto the inheritance, repaired the cities and dwelt in them. And the children of Israel departed thence at that time, every man to his tribe and to his family, and they went out from thence every man to his inheritance. Oh well, they swallowed a horse. But in this case, they didn't die, of course. Looks like, and they all lived happily ever after, didn't they? Wait a minute. Back in the beginning of our studies, back in Judges chapter 3, when the children of Israel fell into sin, they raised up a judge by the name of Othniel. And he judged the people and he got rid of the sin. And it says in Judges 3:11, and the land had rest for 40 years. Later they fell into sin again, and they raised up a judge by the God raised up a judge by the name of Ehud. And in verse 30, after sin was put away, it says that the land had rest for 80 years. Later, same old thing. And along comes Deborah and Barak. And in Judges chapter 5, verse 31, after sin was put away, the land had rest for 40 years. Well, you know what? I don't see that in my Bible. But by the grace of God, they did not die. But it wasn't fun. Can you imagine, symbolically speaking, having swallowed a horse? How uncomfortable that must have been until that thing was digested. Now, I'm speaking symbolically. Obviously, in the natural realm, that's impossible to do. But symbolically, if you could actually do that, man, the digestive juices would be working overtime. Can you imagine the number of Rolaids that you would need? Now, let's relate it spiritually. Oh, you solved the problem. But nowhere was sin confessed. How uncomfortable that must have been. And God, by His grace, caused them not to perish. In fact, it's interesting. that God only kept them from perishing, but in time to come, he actually brought good from the tribe of Benjamin, who was the first king of the nation of Israel. Saul, a Benjaminite. And about 1,000 years later, a man from the city of Tarsus would be walking down the road to Damascus. His name was also Saul, who was of the tribe of Benjamin. And there God would deal with him, and he would become Paul, the apostle. Well, the end justifies the means, doesn't it? Nope. Not at all. There was trouble in the land, and it only got worse for a period of time until they finally came and dealt with sin the way they should deal with sin. What's the problem with the United States today? Well, we've got all kinds of problems, but the biggest problem is I think we're swallowing horses or cows. And we're swallowing cows to get rid of goats that we've previously swallowed, that we swallowed in order to get rid of dogs and on down the line, because some time ago we swallowed a fly, but a very important fly. The fly of the authority of the Word of God. You see, regardless of whether the founding fathers were Christians or not, the founding fathers all had a respect for the authority of the Word of God. They didn't necessarily all believe it or all believe it correctly, but they all had a respect for it. And our nation was built upon that foundation, that God ultimately is sovereign over things, that His will is to be accomplished. And when His will is being accomplished, the nation will prosper. Well, some people came along in time and said, no, that isn't the case. Really, what prospers a nation is its economic policies or its social policies, or its laws that it makes that controls the behavior of people. That's where all the... And we started swallowing spiders and birds and goats to fix the problems and all these other things. And the real problem today is we've thrown God out of our society. I've seen things on Facebook that the problems with school today is that we've gotten rid of Bible reading. Well, yeah, I think that is a problem. But why did we get rid of Bible reading in the schools? Because we got rid of Bible reading in the homes. Well, why did we get rid of Bible readings in the home? Because we got rid of preaching the scriptures in the churches. Why did we get rid of preaching the Word of God in the churches? Because we said man's wisdom is better than God's. And there we go, and we swallowed that fly. When man bases his life on the prescribed will of God found in the Word of God, God adds blessing. When man says, nope, got a better idea, I think a spider will take care of this problem, here comes the horse. And what will happen? You'll die, of course, if we swallow that one. Be careful that we base our blessings, our progress, our intelligence. I saw a thing on Facebook just the other day. I should have responded to it, but I didn't. Some guy had on there that people who use marijuana, tests have shown that these are far more intelligent people. And what I should have, I wanted to put on there, and I didn't have the time, and I walked away and forgot about it later, was, praise the Lord, God makes a distinction between intelligence and wisdom. Now, I think they were wrong to start with, but even if their IQs were much higher, they're stupid. They swallowed at least a fly, and they're looking for horses. Let's not be that kind of people. Amen? Father, thank you for the 10 plus months that we have had in studying the book of Judges. Lord, while we recognize these things happened over 3,000 years ago, the situations are just as relevant today as they were back then. The problems that they endured, while different in technology and scope and that type of thing, were different, but just the same in essence. And the God who was the solution to all their problems back then is still the God who is the solution to all our problems today. Lord, we recognize that there will be times, inadvertently, things will fly into our mouths, spiritually speaking. May we be quick to expel them. But should it be that we inadvertently swallow them, Lord, may we find a biblical prescription of confession to be sufficient, and not go looking for spiders and birds and dogs and cats. Lord, may we be people of the book, so that the God of the book will be glorified in our lives. For now and through eternity, we ask for this in the very precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.